Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Psalm 124. This is a great psalm. Psalm 124. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick with their wrath was kindled against us. And then the waters had overwhelmed us, and the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a few moments on 15 minutes of favor. 15 minutes of favor. You know, I went to the commentary because I wanted to know the setting of this particular writing of David. I want to know which battle he was fighting when he wrote this, what he was referring to. Was it when Saul was trying to kill him? Was it when his own son turned against him and revolted? Was it when the Amalekites came? Just so many things. And the commentary did not know. The writer, Adam Clark, did not know. He said there is no evidence to which battle it was. We just know it was a great battle. It might have even been more than one battle. But he said we don't know whether the battle was from without or from within. We don't know whether it was a foreign enemy or where it was those that were closest to David. But he was under great attack. I can tell you that if you are a living human being, you are going to be under attack in your life. And so we don't know when he wrote this or what battle he's referring to, but we do know that David, the great king, David, the great warrior, David, the man after God's own heart, the David that slew the giant, we do know that he was under tremendous attack. And from this particular psalm, we understand this one thing. And this is a revelation that you need to get. The biggest revelation of this psalm is that God does take sides. We would like to live in a world where we say, well, you know, God just loves everybody, so he never favors anyone. That's simply not true. Now, the Bible is very clear in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, when Peter was preaching to the household of Cornelius, and the Jews were denying them access into the kingdom of God and telling them that they could not become Christians, and they certainly could not receive the things of God. They couldn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Various things the Jews were trying to convey to the Gentiles. And Peter was preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he said, not just to the house of Cornelius, but to those Jews that were present, he set a principle in order, and it's very important that we understand this. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, you can take that negatively if you want to, but it's really a positive, because what it's saying, there is nobody that is excluded. There is nobody that is exempted. Anybody can. It's up to you. God does take sides, not because of people, but God is a respecter of purpose. God chooses to bless those that he will bless because of purpose. The Lord decides to defend those that are right. And so there are a number of verses that are just so encouraging. The Bible said, but in every nation, he that heareth him, feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The Bible said in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, talking about Joseph, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And so God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of purpose. And these are the actions. You know, it's one thing to sing the song, I am a friend of God. But it's a totally different thing to be assured that God is on your side, that no matter what happens, the Lord will fight your battle, that the Lord will oppose any enemy that comes against you. Friend, when you get to that, you have a different level of faith. When you are convinced that God is on your side, it doesn't matter who or what, it doesn't matter the circumstance, it doesn't matter the power or the influence of the person that has decided to be your enemy, if you are convinced that God is on your side. So these are the actions that attract God's favor that was just listed in these few verses that I shared with you. Number one, they that fear God. They that fear God. What does it mean to fear God? You're in awe of God. You understand God's position. You understand there is none like Him. He is God all by Himself. You understand the purpose of God. You understand the power of God. You understand the majestic strength of the Lord. You understand God's hand. You understand that God has the ability to promote and God has the ability to abase. That's fearing the Lord. It's not in terror of God, but it is respect for God. That's one. Number two, they that work righteousness. I don't have a time to develop all of these, but they that work righteousness. They that love God. All of these are in these verses I just shared with you. They that accept God's call to His purpose, and they that are involved in saving much people, fishers of men. Those are the five things that really make an assurance that God is on your side. Even God can't make everybody love you. How many people realize there's some people that just don't like you? And there's nothing you can do about it. You can bake them cakes. You can give them rides. You can do whatever you want to. They're still not going to like you. And if you spend your time trying to convince people that don't like you to like you, you're going to waste a lot of good time. Everybody did not love Jesus. How can you not love Jesus that came doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, offered Himself as a sacrifice, but yet this world is full of people today that are antichrist. So everybody did not love Jesus, and everybody is not going to love you. But God can grant you favor. And we understand that the Lord is our strength, and the Lord is able to save by few or by many. We understand that God's power has not diminished. We understand if God is for us, who can be against us? But the truth is, we live in a world where we're rubbing shoulders with humanity every day. And if every person sets themselves against you, you're not going to accomplish your purposes in life. You have to have people bless you. God said, I will cause men to give into your bosom. That's a wonderful thing. What does that mean? To give under what's near to your heart. They will give to those things that are special to you, those things that mean much to your family, your concern, your purpose in life. They're going to sow into that. God said, I'll cause men to do that. And so we have to decide whether we're going to please God or please man. Because I can assure you this, that if you please God, God has the ability to cause people to favor you. Now, it might not be favor for a lifetime, but it will be favor when you need it. The Bible said without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want to please God. I can't please man all the time, but I could please God all the time. You don't need men's favor everywhere, all the time, but you do need it sometimes, and sometimes it's momentary. And so what you've got to do is say, God, I can't really please man, but I've got to have man's blessing at certain times in my life. So what I'm going to do, God, is I'm going to please you, and I'm going to let you take care of my boss, and I'm going to let you take care of my mother-in-law, and I'm going to let you take care of the policeman, and I'm going to let you take care. I met a policeman yesterday. He was so kind. All he did, he was meeting me. All he did was turn his lights on and just kept on going. He was saying, Stevie, don't drive so fast. And I received that so well. I slowed way down, and I looked in my rearview mirror till he was gone. But I could have got a ticket. Oh, there's so many times where I need people to bless me. and I don't know how to get them to bless me. But if I will please God, God knows how to work on the heartstrings of man. When we were starting this church building, just doing the dirt work, they came to me and said, man, we got a delay. We've got a problem. They're concerned about our detention pond out here, that we're going to flood I-35. And there's one man downtown. He works for TxDOT, Department of Transportation, and he's holding everything up. We call him every day, and nothing ever happens. And I was just in my office, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, I don't know this guy. They gave me his name. They gave me his number. And I said, let me call him. I really wasn't supposed to get involved in this. We had people that were supposed to be doing this. I called him, and I told him who I was. He said, sir, you're on the bottom of the pile. He said, there's months before I'll get to yours. I talked to him about 5 minutes. He said, sir, you're on the top of the pile. He said, sir, I just signed this. Come and get it. There was no reason for him to do that. He didn't know me. He didn't know anything about this church. But let me tell you, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe it's just like the wind. It can cross every barrier. It can dissolve every situation. There is no barrier to it. And so instead of me trying to smooth people, the best thing I can do is to please God and say, God, I need your favor. Friend, I want to tell you that this week you're going to need somebody to speak up for you. You're going to need somebody to write you a check. You're going to need somebody to give you a recommendation. And you might not even know who they are. But if you will do the things that I'm talking about today, and you begin to realize that God is so magnificent, he is so omnipresent, he is everywhere. And that person that doesn't like you, have you ever thought about that? That person that doesn't like you, and that person that you don't like was made by the God you love. Think about that for a while. You say, oh, that person, they're just abrasive. They rub me the wrong way. God made them. And so you need to have to realize that they are a creation of God. And if God created them, God can work miracles on them. God can cause them to do things, and they might not ever decide that you're going to be their best friend, but just for a moment, they make that one decision that's going to change your life forever that you need. The Bible said every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I love this verse. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Friend, I am convinced that God is on my side. I'm convinced that God is on the side of this church because we've done our best to align ourselves with the Scripture and to please the Lord. And so that means the Lord has no variableness toward us. He's always on our side. He was on our side yesterday. He was on our side this morning when we got up. And he'll be on our side in the morning. And so I have that confidence when something is negative, when somebody is negative. Oh, I think I shared this. There was a little car wash down there on Pat Booker, and they convinced me if I would pay them $200, they would give me free car washes. They were in desperate need of money, and so I gave them $200, and they signed a little deal. Next time I went, the guy said, we're no longer honoring that. I said, sir, I got this piece. He said, I don't care. We're not honoring that. And I said, sir, the Lord's on my side. He said, he's on my side too because I go to Cornerstone, but we're still not honoring that. I said, oh, yeah, you're going to honor it. Well, he didn't honor it. I went by the other day. That place is closed. Hey, don't fool with God's people. You got to do what's right. If you don't do what's right, you're not going to be blessed. The Lord is not on the right of people that lie and people that steal, and people that con. You've got to work righteousness. You've got to be kind to people. You've got to help people. You've got to love people. You've got to work for people. Praise God. God wants you to do that. The Lord said, if you'll do that, I'll be on your side. And they don't have to be great Christians to be on your side for a moment. You just need 15 minutes. Just 15 minutes is all you need. I remember my first blessing that I can remember when I was about probably 7 or 8 years of age. We lived in a little town called Iola, Illinois, when I was that age. And it was just a little town. It had 100 people in it and had a school. and it had three churches. It had a Methodist church, a Baptist church, a Pentecostal church. And the Methodists and Baptists, they had church on Sunday morning, and a Pentecostal church, they had church all the time. We went to church all the time. We went Wednesday nights, we went Saturday nights, we went Sunday morning, we went Sunday night. And I remember I was on the street, and I'll tell you what I was doing. My brother, he was a rascal. And so my mother looked around, and he wasn't in church. Well, she knew where he was. He was up at the pool hall. So I'm about 7 or 8 years old. She said, "Stevie, go get Johnny up at the pool hall. Tell him I said to come to church." And so I go up there, and sure enough, Johnny's up there shooting pool. And when I came out of that pool hall, I was walking down the street. And back in those days, there wasn't no fear of being kidnapped. It was just a different world. But there was a carload, about six men, pulled up beside me. And even I wasn't around much. Even I could tell they'd been drinking too much, way too much. And they said, "Hey, boy," said, "where's all the girls?" I said, "Oh, all the girls. I smart even when I was seven. I said, "All the girls are at the dance." They said, "The dance." They said, "Where's the dance?" I said, "Right around the corner, that little building on the left-hand side, that white building right there, they're all in there dancing." Well, that was the Pentecostal church, but I knew they was in there dancing. And you know what that drunk man did? He gave me the first $100 bill I've ever seen. I took $100. You know he had to be drunk to give a kid $100 back. That's like $1,000 today. But you know what I realized? I realized, hey, the Lord's on my side. Even if he has to use drunk people to bless me, the Lord's going to bless me. Friend, I want you to understand, when you please God and you get big faith, you are going to be reassured that your blessing is going to come to you, and God will use anybody, somebody, everybody to get it to you. He is no respecter of person. God will use any old thing he can to perform his will in your life. And his will is to bless you coming in and going out. His will is to fill your cup and run it over. You got to get up in the morning, convince yourself, but you got to do what's right. You got to get in the scripture and these little things I talked about. Get that in your spirit and then get up every morning and say, "Hey, the Lord is on my side today. Something good is going to happen." And when something bad happens, you say, "Hey, I remember Joseph. It was meant for evil, but the Lord turned it to good." We have bad things happen all the time, but we just step back and give God praise and say, "Watch the Lord turn this around, because the Lord's going to give me 15 minutes of favor. That's all I need." You've heard me share the story of how we built the first church over here, and we had a little money. We sold a building down on Pat Booker, and I had enough money to get started, but then I run out of money. And I just couldn't get any money. And we had $10,000. And I went up and gave it to Brother Shambach and came back on that Monday. And I was at the radio station. And I was just doing my radio broadcast and driving down the road. And when I came over here to Citizens Frost Bank, the Lord said, "Right in there. You go in there." I didn't have an account with Frost Bank. I didn't know anybody at Frost Bank. But you know what I had? 15 minutes of favor. You know what I had? The Lord was on my side. I went and sat down and talked to Claudelle Kirchhoff. She had never seen me in her life. I didn't have much information. She said, "Steve," she said, "I'm going to give you $1 million. It'll take about 2 weeks to get it." And she said, "You know why I'm going to give it to you? Because I like you." It wasn't because our financial package was that strong. It was because the Lord was on my side. And they gave us $1 million commitment. But then I came back and she called me in a few days, said, "Steve, we got a problem." Said, "When I started to do this," she said, "your church is zoned residential on 35. I said, "Yeah, they told us it didn't matter we could build a church anywhere. It didn't matter." And she said, "Well, it matters to the bank, because that's our collateral. A building that big on I-35, residential, we can't do it. The collateral's not any good. You got to get that fixed." And so I went to the zoning commission here in Live Oak, and they turned me down, said, "No, we're not going to do that." And so I said, "Well, I got to do," I appealed it to the city council. And that was way before Mary Dennis was here, and she wasn't our mayor. There was another guy there. And so I appealed it. Well, in the meantime, one of the neighbors had gone around, and they got a petition, and they got every neighbor in this area to sign that petition against us. And so when we went to City Hall to meet with the mayor and the city council to get it changed, every neighbor voted against us. And so they discussed it, and it was going against us. And all of a sudden, the woman that circulated the petition stood up, and she started crying. She said, I've had a change of heart. She said, I think the Reverend ought to have his church. I'm going to ask the city council to vote for the preacher and against what I circulated for. Just like that, she changed. And so they voted, and it was a tie. 3-4, 3-against. The mayor voted for the church, and we got it. But then 15 minutes later, I was out there talking to this lady, and she became a friend of mine years later. But she said, I don't know why I did that. She said, in fact, I'm going to go back in there and tell them I've changed my mind back. She went back in there. They said, it's too late. It was just 15 minutes, but that's all I needed. Hey, somebody in this building needs a miracle this week. And it's in the hands of somebody, but God's going to give you the favor for them this week, and you're going to get the job. The door's going to get open. You're going to sell the house. What's going to need to happen in your life is going to happen, but you got to get up every morning. You can't be in fear. You can't be in doubt. You can't be in lack. You got to get up every morning and say, hey, the Lord's on my side. I've got quite an army for me. I got God Almighty and all of his angels, and even though men might be against me, David said, we were prey. They were going to devour us if it had not been for the Lord on our side. God's on your side. That's the reason why you ought to come to God's house and praise him. You know, contact and communication is great things. I got people, the lawyers and people that I work with. Sometimes I call them when I don't need anything just to stay in touch because I know I'm going to need them sooner or later. Sometimes I come to church on Wednesday night and I don't need anything. I'm just staying in touch with the Lord. I get up every morning and praise God. I just stay in touch with the Lord. I pray every day because I just stay in touch with the Lord. I read his word every day because I know there's going to be a time where I need the favor of God. Man can't help me. Man won't help me. He just won't do it. This church that you're in today has been a miracle from day one. We came here, knew nobody, had no money, but we had God on our side. When we first asked to buy this property, Mr. Reeves owned it. I got the telephone number from a neighbor, called him, and I said, Mr. Reeves, this is Steve Fender. I'd like to see about buying this property. He said, oh, sir. He said, that's not for sale. It's already in my will. He said, I'm an older man. He said, that property is going to go to my grandchildren. And he said, I'm sorry, but it's just not available. I said, well, thank you very much. I just get ready to hang up. And he asked one question. He said, what do you want that property for? I said, a church. He said, you should have told me that. I'll meet you there in 30 minutes. And so right over where this other building, we stood out there in that ground. He said, yeah, I want you to have it for a church. That'd be nice to have a church here. He said, how much you want to give me for it? He let me set the price. I told him how much I wanted to pay for it. And then I said, plus we don't have any money. Someone have to pay it out every month. It was 200 and how much? 233.33 every month. And Sister Becky and I had to get it. She took in washing and she took in, no, that's not true. But it really makes for a good story. But it was tough to find the $233, I tell you that. But it didn't matter because the Lord's on our side. You say, why are you telling this story? Because somebody in this building right now is facing something, and you're going to need a miracle this week. And I just want to remind you the Lord is on our side. And I'll tell you something else. I tell these stories to myself day after day and week after week. Every time something goes wrong, every time the devil acts up, every time there's an attack, praise God, I just start dragging these stories through my brain, and all of a sudden I say, what does that matter? I have no fear. I've been here before. The Lord has turned these things around, and he'll turn this around. I was talking to one of the sisters today, and she was talking about her husband just got his biopsy for his prostate. And I said, I've already been there and done that. 10 years ago, the doctor said, I have prostate cancer. And he put me through a painful test. When I went back, he was a totally changed man. He was apologetic doctor. There's nothing I like better than apologetic doctors when they got to apologize, because doctors always think they made a mistake. Hey, if you're a doctor and you're listening to me right now, you don't make mistakes. You know what you're doing. You know what you see in those x-rays. You've done it 1,000 times. You're not making mistakes. God's changing some things. What was on your x-ray was not on God's plan, and God turned around. Doctors, we love you, and we thank God for every one of you, but you got to realize that you're working for a man called Jesus, the great physician, the great physician. And so that doctor apologized, said, Reverend, I'm sorry I put you through that pain and that test, but he said, I was sure you had prostate cancer, but it's not there. It's gone. Oh, what did I need? Just 15 minutes of favor. That's what God's going to give somebody in this building this week. You're going to go into an appointment, and suddenly God's going to turn that man's heart around. He's going to turn that woman's heart around. He's going to turn that neighbor's heart around. He's going to turn that boss's heart around. And suddenly you're going to say, "Woo! Look at this. The Lord is on my side. The Lord is on my side." Look at somebody and say, "The Lord is on my side." I'm going to close with this. I got a pastor friend that pastors a big church. He called me a while back. He said, "I want you to come preach for me and tell me that story that I don't believe, but it's my favorite story." He said, "I don't believe that story, but," he said, "every time you tell it, I get so excited." And he said, "God does big things in my life." And I've told it here many times. And that was, I was in Augusta, Georgia, doing something, and I had to get back here on a Saturday. It was on a Saturday. I had to get back here on Saturday night. I got as far as Atlanta, Georgia. And I walked up to my little place where I was supposed to catch my plane, my little ticket deal there, and there wasn't nobody around. It was supposed to be the right gate, nobody around. And it was late at night, like 11 o'clock at night. That's back when they was flying all times of night before 9/11. And I waited around, nobody showed up. And finally I went down and I found somebody. And I said, "Ma'am, I'm supposed to fly out here at such and such time." She took that ticket. She said, "I don't know who sold you this ticket, but," she said, "that flight has been canceled. We haven't flown that route to San Antonio for months now." She said, "I don't know how you got this ticket." Said, "There's not a chance." She said, "Well, we can, though. Since you got a ticket, we can offer you a hotel. We can pay for a hotel room for you." I said, "Oh, no, I got to be in San Antonio tomorrow morning for church." And she said, "Well, it's just impossible." I went down to a little coffee shop, and I was sitting down there, and this same woman walked up there. She said, "Sir?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Follow me." That's all she said. I got up and started following her through the Atlanta airport. Finally, we got down to a concourse. We just walked right onto a plane. She said, "Sir, this plane's going to San Antonio." And she said, "There won't be anybody else on it." I'm talking about, I don't know much about planes, 737, 747, one of those big planes. And I sat on there. After a while, the pilot came on. He shut the door himself, didn't say a word to me. Went in the cockpit. I sat there. They revved up the engines. After a while, that thing taxied down the runway, and I realized I am on a 737, a 747 by myself, and I started feeling like it was the Twilight Zone. I started feeling like, this is pretty spooky. Takes, I don't know, a couple hours, 2.5 hours, whatever it takes to fly to Atlanta here, and I sat there all the way. And first, I was a little spooked. And then I got to praising God, because we had a lady in this church, and she really loved me, and she's gone on to be with the Lord. But she was always trying to get me to buy an airplane. "Pastor, you need your own plane." And the last thing I want is an airplane. Jesse loves planes, and Kenneth Copeland loves planes, and I like horses. And you can't get there very fast, but I just like horses. I don't want an airplane. But I got to rejoicing when I realized that I owned all the planes, because I've got a God that can give me favor whenever I need it. He can get me where he wants me to be. If God don't get me there, I probably don't need to be there anyway. But praise God, I flew through that dark night. It's about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning by the time I got here. When we got here, they opened the door. I never saw anybody. I did get up one time because that woman had told me there was some food up there in the galley. I went up there and helped myself, served myself. There wasn't a flight attendant. There wasn't another person in that whole plane, just me. I had the whole plane to myself. I felt like the president on Air Force One. Oh, what are you saying? I'm saying God has the way of doing the craziest things, the biggest things, because the Lord is on my side. I've never faced a problem that God didn't eventually resolve. Everything that's been trying to be against me, the Lord's turned it around for my good. I told you about the president of the college that wrote letters because I preached about angels, and he said I was in heresy, and the school board members, instead of boycotting me, they called me on the phone and said, "Can you come and preach for us?" It backfired on him, but it worked for my good. Friend, I'm going to tell you, if your Lord is on your side, everything the devil does will backfire against him, and you're going to be blessed. And there's some people in this building right now that you need to get more bold. You need to get more authoritative. You need to get up every morning when you're brushing your teeth and between the toothpaste, you need to be saying, hey, the Lord's on my side. This is going to be a good day. It doesn't matter who's against me because God is for me. The Lord can turn this thing around. Somebody was telling me about their boss being adverse to them because of their sexual preference, the fact they're heterosexual and he's against them and every day he persecutes them. My advice to them, just be strong. The Lord's going to turn this around. The Lord is on your side. The Lord's going to open the door. Either that man's going to be gone or you're going to be promoted or God's got a better job. You're never ever going to suffer to extinction because of your choice to stand with Almighty God. If you stand with God, God is on your side. He will command angels in your behalf. He will bind demons in your behalf. He will change men's hearts in your behalf. God's on your side. Somebody's getting ready to be healed this week. Somebody's going to get a raise this week. Somebody's going to win a family member to the Lord this week. Somebody's going to get their house this week. Somebody's going to sell their house this week. Somebody's going to get a new job. Somebody's going to get the car they wanted. Somebody's going to get the favor of some people in their life that they need because God is on your side. It's not that hard. I love that commercial. He said, boys, it's not that hard. Just lay down the pie and pick up the phone and lose weight. I'm telling you, it's not that hard. Just lay down all of your confrontation and begin to praise God and glorify God and say, God, I don't know how, but I know you'll make a way. So I'm going to give you the praise. I'm going to give you the glory. I'm going to give you the honor. And then I'm going to step back and see how mysteriously you do it, but how wonderfully you perform it. God is on your side. He is your healer. He is your healer. He is your savior. He is your baptizer. He is your way maker. He's in this house right now. And somebody in this building needs to take a hold of this and say, this is going to be my week. This is going to be my turnaround. My job's going to change. My family's going to change. My money's going to change. My health is going to change in Jesus' name. Can you give God the praise? Shitoko soda halala bahaya. I don't know what you are letting the devil use for a weapon, but that weapon is not supposed, even though it's formed, it's not supposed to be victorious against you. To some of us, it's age. The devil said, well, you're just getting an age now where, you know, the best is behind you. Devil, you are a liar. My last day on earth is going to be my best day on earth. I claim it in Jesus' name. The devil said, this is the weapon I'm using against you. You don't have the right education. You don't have the right degree. Devil, you are a liar. God is going to promote me above my degree. The devil said, well, you got this health challenge. You know, your daddy had that disease. Your mama had that. Devil, you are a liar. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper because the Lord is on my side. And praise God, I'm going to be in divine health. You know, Jesse and I were talking in the office. He said, Steve, a lot of these great faith preachers are gone. Kenneth Hagin and so many of these people are gone. And he said, a lot of these young preachers are not preaching faith like they used to. And he's absolutely right. He said, we not only used to preach healing, we used to preach divine health, that God would keep us in divine health. Somebody in this building needs to reach out and claim your divine health. I'm not going to die of sickness. I'm not going to have cancer. I'm not going to have leukemia. I'm not going to have high blood pressure. I'm going to live and be in divine health. Praise God. And when I go, I'm going to leave here in perfect health when I go to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here today that wants to realize that God's on your side and He wants you to walk in divine health? If you've got anything facing you today, I challenge you to get out of your chair and walk down here.